You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, in the absence of really big news, you know, like a set of results or a inflation number or unemployment data or something like that, we should be talking about the way that a portfolio is to be constructed now. Because of the change in technology and because of the change in everything we've become used to, for example, German cars, you must only buy a German car and that's the end of it, not anymore. And you've got other things, like warfare, we were talking about off air earlier on, saying tanks and artillery and men running around in fields with camouflage hats on, maybe that's not the future because of drones. So you've got to look at the companies available and say, my portfolio, okay, it's not going to change in terms of asset allocation. Equities will still be 65% or something, but the type of company you're looking at has got to change.
Lindsay, you know, I'm trying to do it, I go through this all the time, trying to work out where to put money. In other words, what's leading the markets? And the one thing for certain, if you want to undertake to look after someone else's money, you can do what you like with your own money. But when you're responsible for other people's money, you better make sure that you're in touch with the changing trends or the changing environment in markets. And so many things are not what they used to be. Those legacy issues. I always say, you know, we always say, oh, buy De Beers. You know, never sell your De Beers, which is diamond markets, you know, in the olden days. Well, let me tell you something. Anglos can't even sell the mine today. You know, they're battling simply because of how things have changed in the diamond industry, especially with small stones being manufactured, literally being manufactured. So there's a lot that you have to go through. And I think that's one thing that the technology sector has shown us, you know, just how fast it's grown. When you look at the largest companies in the U.S. at the moment, three of which are semiconductor businesses, NVIDIA, Broadcom, and TSM, Taiwan Semiconductors, even though it's a Taiwan company, you know, it is quoted in the U.S. and, you know, it doesn't go into the S&P, but it's still a massive business. So you start to look at those businesses and everything has changed. You can't go back to even looking at your Procter & Gamble's and companies like that used to be so dominant, Jonathan and Johnson.
But people will still, no matter how technology advances or what car company is, you know, the flavor of the month, the fact is that people will still need the goods that Procter & Gamble produce and Johnson & Johnson, which I think you're a fan of Johnson & Johnson, but you still have to have that. You still got to have your talcum powder and your Dove soap.
Well, you don't, because you don't have to have a J&J talc, you know. And I always explain this. I remember I sat through Buffett, and I'm a great fan of Warren Buffett.
Yes.
And I remember sitting in a meeting, and people would ask him about technology. And he was wrong. He was wrong by not buying technology shares. You know, just look today, the kind of growth that they've given you. Yes, he bought Apple. I'm not going to challenge
very
him, but
late.
That was Johnny. Very late, you know, he went into IBM. Funny enough, IBM is one of the performers this year, but on a tenured whatever basis, it's done very little. But he used to say, you know, in 10 years' time or 15 years' time or 20 years' time, kids will still be chewing Wrigley's and they'll still be drinking Coca-Cola. But he's wrong. He was wrong.
Why?
Because they don't chew chewing gum anymore and they don't drink Coca-Cola because of the sugar content.
But yeah, I think he might have been just making a point that they will be doing things that Wrigley's has been replaced by something else and Coca-Cola by a zero something. Don't you think he was just making a point, or was he actually targeting brands?
He targeted brands, certainly Coca-Cola. And he's held on. But what I'm saying is that even if he was alluding to other businesses, things have changed. I watch us go on the subway in, or sitting in the airport where I was in Heathrow or something. But you go on a train in New York City and I'm holding there. No one gets up for you at all. You know, you've got to push your way in. And you look at every person, every kid is on that train with an Apple phone in front or maybe another smartphone. Playing games, looking at TikTok, looking at Reels, looking at YouTube, answering mails, you know, whatever. And so they completely, their whole life is completely changed. You know, that's what they do. They stream movies, they stream games. They don't drink Coca-Cola. You know, they don't. They might have a soda, whatever it is. Yes, they've got their bottled waters because they've gone to gym or whatever it is. But I mean, it's
could be made by Coca-Cola, the bottled water.
Yeah, it could be. Yes, it could be. But it's not the sweet sugar formula of Coca-Cola.
When was the last time you had a Coke, David?
I used to drink a lot of Coke. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
And every time that I'm down, it just shows you, and I need a caffeine kicker, I do have a Coke. There's sometimes when I feel a little flat, yeah.
I keep a fizzy drink called Iron Brew. Yeah. No, not the South African Iron Brew, but the Scottish Orange Iron Brew. I've got a bottle of that always at hand because if my blood sugar level drops and I've got low blood pressure and if my sugar goes down as well, I need a fizzy drink. So I have that. But otherwise, no, people don't drink it anymore. And people don't drink anymore either, David. Young people don't drink. And older people have stopped drinking as well. Yeah.
I was actually writing something for a magazine, and I actually drew that up. I said, because when we were, you know, in our working life, you know, every now and again you'd go with a mate. You didn't feel like going home afterwards, so you'd go into a pub and you'd talk about everything, you know, just having a beer. It doesn't mean you got totally sozzled, but it was a form of socializing. Yeah. You know, and that's how I used to socialize. And you talk to friends, you'd say, listen, I'm looking for a date on Saturday night. Have you got anybody that, you know, I should phone, blah, blah. You know, you used to tackle the world's problem, talk a lot about sport, whatever it is. And now, if you look, the kids don't do that anymore.
That's killed the pub as well, which annoys me.
Yeah, I know. They, you know, they dress funny, first of all, kids, you know, and they walk around.
Well, I bet you've had a pair of brothel creepers in your time that you've worn and some drain pipes.
But, you know, they walk around with those pods in their ears.
Yeah.
And when you talk to them, they say, huh? They're completely in a daze. You know, they walk around in this mist. Totally oblivious of what's happening around them. So I think, you know, that's how things have changed. They focus on gym and, you know, talk to their friends. I don't know. I don't know how you date. I don't even know. You know, because we had a develop a charm. You know, there's nothing more daunting or frightening as meeting.
Well, trust me, these things can introduce you, but the legendary Shapiro charm that they're using you as an example would shine through. It's not the app that got you together.
You know, you have to learn to talk.
Exactly.
And she looks at you. And
you have to learn how to talk to a woman, not how to talk. You have to learn how to talk to a woman, how to listen as well, which has been my downfall. I fall asleep because anyway, I'm being.
Lindsay, you mentioned you're not going off key because go look at Diageo's results or Brown and Foreman's results. Mm. All of those liquor companies or beverage companies, they're not selling. They're not selling liquor. Yes, Carlsberg's selling non-alcoholic beer, and a couple of other companies are going into new areas. But the liquor business is starting to fall. You know, volumes are starting to fall, which is hurting their profits and revenues.
Non-alcoholic beer is an interesting one.
That's a trend.
Non-alcoholic beer is a very interesting one because I went to see my brother who lives in Ipswich, and beautiful part of the world. And I said, he said, are you still drinking? I said, I lied. I said, no, I've given up. Since I've been here, because I've been they're seeing somebody else for a while in Suffolk. And I said, I've been drinking this Ghost Ship. It's a local non-alcoholic beer. He said, oh, I know Ghost Ship. I'll meet you at this pub and we'll have a couple. Now, the interesting thing about non-alcoholic beer for a beer drinker like myself, as I used to be anyway, I don't anymore. That's another sad story. You drink it and your body says, tastes like beer. And you start to behave like you've had a beer. And then after about three of these things, your body says, wait a second, you're trying to kid me, aren't you? You're having a laugh, aren't you? Stop it now. And then you sober up. But it fools your mind the first time you have it.
You know, you say that because I was going to answer you now saying that my wife was getting cramp in her calf, you know, when she woke up. And one of the doctors said, you know, what you should drink is quinine. You should have a tonic water. So, you can just buy tonic water. So I said, okay, that sounds good. You know, she has the non-sugar version. I like the sugar version. So I'll have a sugar version. And every time I have a tonic without the gin,
you think it's a gin and tonic?
Yeah. I think it's a gin and tonic. Yeah, I'm pissed.
Very good. Those are the days. Last thing on alcohol is when I first started in the financial services industry, I worked for a company called Edwin Douglas Limited, and we used to joke that we answered the phone to Edwin Douglas, brokers to the gentry, because we had a few lords of the realm were punting with us secretly behind their wives' backs. And myself and this young chap called Shaky Naylor, we would go on the 11 o'clock shift, and that was the Red Lion, just down below the office in we were in the smart part of London, just off Jermyn Street, and we would go down at 11 o'clock, be the first customers in there, and 11 till 12, because we were the youngest, that was our shift. Then we would go back, and by the time it got to 1:30, the senior members of the firm would go down, and you wouldn't see them for the rest of the day. But everyone, without exception, drank alcohol and drank three or four at lunchtime at least. Yeah. Every single day, Monday to Friday. Yeah. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't do it.
No. I know they're being watched. They can't do it. They dare not come back because they might say something that causes them to be – they might tell a joke which is slightly off color, and that's the end of their career.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a funny joke, but some person there is going to report them to HR. And
some companies breathalyze you and also take random drug tests. They do. David, I tell you. Anyway, what else? Oh, well. So the drinks companies are no longer defensive. Yeah. They used to be defensive, didn't they?
They were no longer. I think that some of them are doing well, but I think there's, you know, that is a trend. I think the other ones are, as we mentioned, a lot of the old brands that we valued, Nestle's and Procter & Gamble and all of those. You can't get your goods in front of the consumers anymore because those consumers now go onto TikTok or Reels or somewhere else, and they buy house brands or their alternative brands. So it's very difficult for some of those old companies or those legacy companies to get their Omo washing powder or Tide washing powder in front of people. You know, you go on and someone says, why don't you try this? It's a third the price. So you have those influences, and you have a whole lot of other areas, you know, where you look to for not satisfaction, where you get a consumer report on them, you know, which is you. Anybody can write that. So that's changed as well. And you have to be very cognizant of that.
And also the shift to premium brands rather than, you know, buying a vodka, just straight red label Smirnoff, for example. Nothing against that, if Smirnoff are listening. Fine for a mixer vodka. But people now drink, of course, Grey Goose, which is three times the price. Yes. And the same with beer. And it's like that. So, and also, demand is shifting. The Chinese are buying a lot of European spirits and wines, by the way. A lot. I don't know if that's replacing alcohol that's not being drunk.
We're not seeing it in the results. That's why I'm sure they might be doing it. Look, the Chinese are developing their own brands as well in a number of areas, and not necessarily only liquor, but it's another threat. So, Lindsay, what we're trying to say is that even in banking, you're getting fintech companies that are coming up and challenging the banks.
Good point,
The banks have to now think about their roles as well. You know, you can't – it's no longer those marble column buildings that, you know, were austere and used to walk in there and panic because the bank manager had kind of, you know, was wearing a pinstripe suit and had brogues on with those little things, with those iron studs at the back.
They were SIGs at the front. They were, what were they called at the back?
I don't know.
Think about it. Blakeys, they were called.
and you'd sit in front of him. Oh, look, you also became a friend of his. But today, I can't remember when I last visited the bank. Everything is online. No. I have apps. When they phone me up to check something, they say, well, which branch do you? I say, I have no idea. No. I've got no idea where I am. So there are a lot of things that are changing that we have to look at. I think the other thing are motor cars. and the Chinese are selling thousands. I saw there's a lot of criticism. There's a number of stories around how the Chinese are able, you know, whether they're subsidized. I'm sure they are. But I think it was Xiaomi came out with an SUV and sold, or there was inquiries of something like 268,000 in the first hour or something.
Because of the price and because of the quality, I think.
Yes, whatever it was. So, you know, you suddenly think, I'm BMW or I'm Mercedes-Benz. Nobody wants our Trunters anymore. You know, they want these, as someone called it, they want a cell phone on or a smartphone on wheels, you know, which is entertaining, whatever it is. Once you're stuck in traffic, you may as well entertain yourself or you entertain your passengers. So many, you've got to think about all of this.
You also, in the old days, David, when maybe you and I were thinking about buying a car, and you're buying a car in South Africa, I would always think of, well, can I get the parts for this thing? You don't think of that anymore because each of these cars can go for a million kilometres without even coughing. So that's not an issue anymore. Whereas in the old days, if you'd have bought a Renault, for example, when you first started buying cars, that would have been exotic, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And you wouldn't have got any parts for it. You would have been stuffed.
I remember changing. We had to change the clutch and we'd have to change the fan belt every now and again. And, you know, there were all those kind of things, which don't really occur anymore. And the quality has increased dramatically. Yeah. But as China goes electric because of clean air requirements, and also I think it's easier to get an electric car, a license. You know, you have to get a license to have a car, and if it's electric, it's much easier than going for a fuel-driven car. So there are a lot of issues, but what I'm trying to say to you is that don't take Tesla. You know, Tesla's falling down the ladder. It's a lot of cars are replacing it, and the Chinese have gone for European engineering. They're not engineered by Chinese. They've got the good sense to, you know, to use Europe and to use high quality engineers. So the point by going through this is, you know, anybody listening is just go check everything that you've got. Is it still relevant? Is it still going to be relevant 1, 2, 3 years down the line?
Do you also look at the long term? I mean, somebody might say, well, look what VW has done over the last 25 years. You say, well, that's fine, but have a look at the last 5 years, for example.
Yeah.
You've got to condense it now. You've got to see the recent performance history, not just the long-term performance history. Sometimes it's valid, sometimes it's not. But there's a definite shift in thinking for portfolio construction, I would have thought, David. Not being an expert, you're at the frontier.
No, I'm saying that's why you can't take anything for granted. You can't say this is a one for the bottom drawer. No, you know, don't do that. Just every day you've got to keep up with developments. When we think of Netflix, remember, I mean, from going from renting 16 millimeter reels to going to VHS and Beta and the progression, and now just turning on your phone or turning on your TV, that kind of development's going to continue. The video store on a Sunday and go rent a movie that you show. That's gone. I mean, here I sit on my bed bored, flicking through, oh, should I go to Prime? Oh, should I go to, you know, working out where to go? That's so boring.
Talking about boring, thank goodness Glastonbury's over, I'm afraid. It's like when you, I can only liken it at my age, to when you watch or you have the misfortune to be flicking through the normal channels on television, and on the BBC they'll have a celebrity game. It's either Celebrity Bridge of Lies or Celebrity Pointless or something like that. And I look at these people, the celebrities, and I think, okay, what's your name? Yeah. And I have to look them up because I don't know who they are. And there's some minor celebrity and they've been hauled onto this game show to make money for charity, which is great, but I don't know who they are. It's the same with Glastonbury. And the BBC has the temerity to use two channels for a 3-day music festival. I mean, what? I mean, okay, it's the biggest music festival and most popular in the world and most prestigious. And you got an octogenarian singing on the pyramid stage on the last day, Rod Stewart.
Is he still around?
Hobbling around last night.
With Maggie May.
Yeah, with Ronnie Wood and Lulu. They were up there as well. I think they had an oxygen tent on the side there for all three of them. But anyway, it was good stuff. But I'm just so thankful that it's over. And the BBC, bless them, covered it very, very well, if you like that sort of thing. But they flooded it. And this morning, I think, thank God that's over. And they got people being interviewed leaving Glastonbury saying, did you have a good time, etc. I don't know why I talked about that. But
no, I know. There was an awful incident which I think has caused a lot of
Bob villains. Yeah, with the IDF comment.
I think it's caused a lot of reaction. And I'm not sure where this goes and what it does say about, you know, the hippies were fine. I like the hippies at Woodstock or wherever it was.
That was the 1960s, David.
60s, yeah. I know what I'm trying to say, but those festivals, people used to go there, camp out. Even the festivals that I've gone to in Central Park or something, people come listen to the music. There's no political statements. The only political statement would be clean air or something like that, renewable energy, you know, something. But not, not deep political issues in that.
Speaking about clean air and subsidies and things like that, Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill, if you look at it, all 940 pages of it, I haven't read 940 pages of anything in my entire lifetime, but it does remove all benefits of, you know, wind and sun, energy, etc. Subsidies out the window. We've got to drill, baby. And also,
I've got to look at that.
Yeah, you have to.
Because I don't know whether this is new, but in the Senate, they were hoping to kind of phase that out. But there are a number of businesses who've spent a lot of money, you know, on those, with the hope of those subsidies and are going to be punished. But I think that's another thing. With all the energy that is required to build these data centers, I think you've got to be very careful which businesses you buy to provide that power. So it's spread out a lot more. You know, it's grid, it's gas, it is old-fashioned type power, whatever. Yeah, but you brought up a very good point there as well.
The bill, unfortunately, will get passed. I think it was 51-49 in favour of the debate going on about it in the Republicans' favour, and now they've got the big vote, I think, this evening, our time. Talking of Trump, he's got the tariff thing coming up. He's done well with Canada. Canada backed down and said, well, we're not going to tax some technology. They were putting some technology tax on American companies. And they said, no, we'll scrap that. So he's back talking to them again. But the one thing that's quite funny, you know that ghastly gold phone he's launched? He's launched the phone and he's obviously just...
He's the president of the United States.
I know.
He's not a second-hand card trader in George Street or something.
Anyway, he's got the gold phone and he's got the company. And what is it called when you just put your name to something, like a hotel goes up and it's the Trump Call It Drive or something? What is it called when he just does that? Anyway, there's a name for it. He's done the same with his mobile phone. And he says it's going to be made in America and it's going to make America great again, all that crap. And what he's done today is he's come back and said it's America's going to make it better or something like that, and he's taken away on the box made in America because he's realized you can't make a mobile phone in America. It's got to be Vietnam or China or Taiwan or India or something, and it's a bit of an embarrassment, but he's cleverly got his PR people to say enhanced by America or something like that, David. Another backslide from Donald.
I just sit back here and say, look, as long as the market's going up,
exactly,
I'm okay. It's just too much for everybody to handle, you know, to understand it and to put yourself in the middle, because all you're going to do is be spun around like a top, you know, and you get giddy. I just say, okay, look, market's up, S&P's at a new record high. Okay, go back tonight, try and find something on Netflix to watch. There's no football.
Watch Mindhunters, David, on Netflix. Mindhunters. You'll like it. It's from the 70s.
I was looking at this Department Q. Did I start to watch that?
Yes, that's very good, actually.
Which is about, I love the Scottish accents, but every second word is the F word. I thought, hell, if my parents spoke to me like that, you know what would happen? Jesus. I mean, if I spoke to my parents like that.
Give it a chance. It's really, really good.
No, I loved it. I actually enjoyed it very much. Got a bit confusing towards the end, but whatever.
Well, you're getting on, let's face it. I'll explain it to you one day. David, watch Mindhunters, which is a 1970s based on a true story. Psychological. You'll like it. You'll like the interaction between the two main characters. It's very, very clever indeed. S&P, David, up 0.25% to 6,239. That's the September futures. Not bad, eh?
No. A couple of months ago, I thought we wouldn't see it this year.
No.
I didn't think we'd see it next year either. Mm. So, I mean, to be where we are, I'm thrilled. I'm happy to close out the year at these levels.
Yeah,
so,
go home now.
That's all right. You can have the second half.
The other thing I was going to say was the worst start to a year. In other words, it's half the year gone for the US dollar since 1973. Mm. And we know what 1973 was. It was the oil price shock and everything else. And I sent out something on LinkedIn to say, for simple people like me, it's the health of a country that is indicated in the value of the currency, just like a share price is the health of the company. And I got a bit of abuse because I was being too simple. But it is. I mean, the amount of money that's withdrawn from the US dollar indicates that it's not particularly popular, America. People are looking at it, as Michael Power did in that piece of work that I sent you, which you didn't particularly like, I don't think. But anyway, he's...
I understand exactly what he's saying, but, you know, you've got to have a... One's got to have an alternative. Okay, well, where should we go? You know, what is the alternative? Do I really want to go into Europe? Do I want to go into China? Do I want to go into the UK? That's the only thing that bothers me, is that when I break down those economies and try and put together companies that I like to own, not that happy, you know, not that thrilled. But, I mean, to see the euro at 117, the pound at 137, and the Swiss franc 125 or close to 126, yeah, that is extraordinary.
Big move.
Where does it go? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to weaken. You know, I think gold has probably seen the best. You know, so let's see what happens the second half. I think that's what I love about markets. Whatever we say now, we can cancel out tomorrow.
Exactly. Most things anyway. Yeah. David, thank you very much for your time. As always, David Shapiro is from Sasserman Securities in Johannesburg. He'll be back with myself and Viv Govender on Thursday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.